Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
I'm really excited to speak to our next guest, in particular because, as I started out saying at the beginning of the show, at the top of the show, I do think it's a pretty good time to be a consumer at the moment. It feels as though the indicators and the metrics that our central bank governors have been asking us to look out for are coming to fruition, that we are looking for, at the very least, some kind of reprieve in the form of interest rates in order to spur the engine of growth and obviously temper prices. And so I was surprised to hear Viv kind of being quite hawkish around the concern for some kind of, I'm not sure if you said stagnation or of sorts, or sluggish growth. I thought that was the exact opposite of what our expectations on the other side of interest rate cuts was anticipating. And so it's an appropriate time for us to turn our conversation then over to our first guest in terms of our releases interview, and that is Joe De Beer. Joe De Beer is the Deputy Director General responsible for economic statistics at Stats SA. You would recall this just earlier on in the show, I said we had an increase in GDP of just under 0.5% quarter on quarter for the second quarter of 2024, driven by a number of factors that I'm really excited to delve into with Joe. Joe, good evening. Welcome to Kaya Biz. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Good evening. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Excellent. So this is pretty much broadly in line with economist expectations, but I'm keen for us to go through some of the details of the key drivers. Let's start off on the production side of the economy. Load shedding, this is the first full quarter I think we've had from a data perspective without load shedding. Is that correct? In a long time.
Yeah, I just wanted to say in a very long time, but yeah, you're quite correct. So the second quarter data didn't have any load shedding. There was a bit of load reduction or load management in Joburg, but generally speaking, there was no load shedding in the country. And that reflected quite nicely in the statistics, with the electricity sector recording the highest growth of all of the industries that we've measured, with just over 3%. Mm. Sadly, because it's a fairly small sector, it only made a 0.1 points contribution to overall growth, but I don't think we should underestimate that 0.1, because a lot of the other growth in manufacturing, for example, or in the trades or the business services came because of the availability of electricity. So its impact is actually a little bit wider than what we'd see if you just look at the statistics in a fairly elementary way.
Absolutely. And then in terms of their larger weightings, slower pace of growth, but absolutely important with the likes of financial services, real estate and services.
Yes, you're quite correct. They made the biggest contribution, 0.3 of a percentage point, because they grew by 1.3. The rest of the industries that grew, there were 7 in total. All of them contributed 0.1, or basically zero. So the overall growth is still very low. We had a little bit of a negative impact from transport. We still know about the infrastructure backlogs that we had during the quarter. Agriculture also didn't do very well. Mining recorded a small negative, but not enough to really detract from economic growth.
One thing that I found quite interesting was the construction sector, sort of a 0.5% increase, but really your team, yourselves, recording a slowdown in the construction sector. And I read that through the lens of these numerous headlines about extortion rackets. I know that insofar as if a construction team or if a construction company does not respond to these extortion rackets, in the many ways they get halted. Is that something that might be playing out in the numbers?
It might very well be. The extent of that is not something that we try to measure. But, I mean, I'm pretty convinced it's not just anecdotal stories that we're hearing. But what is interesting of the construction sector, if you look at it now on the production side, is to try to see if it mirrors on the expenditure side. So then we can look at the estimate that we have for fixed capital formation. And even though that contracted by 1.4%, we can see that there was at least expansion in the building or construction of residential and non-residential buildings. The negative part came mostly from other construction works, which might be some of your road infrastructure and like. So the construction issue mirrors both on the supply and the demand side of the economy.
Absolutely. That's a perfect segue. Thanks, Joe. You should go into radio because I literally wanted to talk to you about the gross fixed capital formation on the expenditure side. For me, it was representative of, you know, a fourth consecutive quarter of business continuing to hoard cash. And I know that unlike in the consumption, you know, household expenditure, which displayed its increased confidence in the economy through much higher consumption spend, businesses take longer to sign off budgets, and maybe we'll see that come through in the Q4 2024 number. But how long should we see this positive GNU, better electricity take? How long should that take to start coming through in gross fixed capital formation, particularly on the private sector side?
Yeah, that's quite a tricky one. We must remind ourselves that this quarter that we're discussing now runs from April to June, and it was only towards the end of this quarter that we actually had the elections and the election of the president. So the formation of the GNU didn't really feature here. But I think if we go back in five-year intervals, whenever there's a new government or a new government is formed, with or without different policies, it does take quite a long time to really influence business on the ground level. I think a lot of this construction rather relates to the decisions taken by the private sector. And as you said, maybe they're sitting on the cash, still deciding is now the right time to start investing? Must I build a new factory now? Is electricity stable enough for me to start investing? Where is the best place for me to put the money that I have? If we look a little bit at the more details of the capital formation, we can see that we had a contraction in machinery and equipment as well as transport equipment. So yes, capital formation is not always just building a new factory. It's also buying the machinery that goes into it or buying all the tractors if it's not locally produced. And some of those decisions might be shorter term than actual construction. I can take a decision to import new machinery and it will be in a few months. But if I'm going to build a shopping mall, it's a multi-year project.
Sure.
So there are different leads and lags that business has to filter into these decisions.
And that impacted imports as well. Some aircraft importation made imports a bit heavier this time around.
Yeah, the imports are fairly stable if I'm looking at over a longer period. On a quarter-by-quarter, let alone a month-by-month basis, a lot of things can happen. And especially if you want to import some very expensive things or big transport equipment, then you will see it. We remember a few quarters ago, we saw CapEx increasing. That was somewhere during 2023, I think, maybe yes, the second quarter. And that was a spike because of the increase of a lot of renewable energy machinery and equipment for one of the solar plants that came in. And subsequently, the next quarter, the CapEx was a big negative purely because of the base effect. And then if we go back to the import statistics, because we don't produce the renewable energy in South Africa, you could actually see it in the import statistics where all the batteries and the PV panels and things were imported, and then the next month they're just not there, and then you see a big drop. And it's no need for panic stations because it's not really as if policy changed. It was just really a business activity that happened in one month and then didn't repeat in the next.
For sure. If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Joe De Beer. Joe De Beer is the Deputy Director General responsible for economic statistics at Stats SA, helping us plow through the quarter two 2024 GDP numbers. Joe, just bringing it back to some of our sort of day-to-day for our listeners, I'm staying on the expenditure side or on the demand side of the GDP numbers, looking at the household consumption, charging ahead, quite reflective, obviously not more, only of a more stable environment, you know, maybe a bit more post-COVID recovery confidence. And I'm curious to know, you know, when we speak anecdotally amongst ourselves as households or to our listeners, the consistent refrain is that costs are so high, not getting quite as much volume for bang for buck anyway. What would you attribute this to? Like you said, to your point, it's only been a month and a half or so since we've been through a new dispensation of even positive hope.
Yeah, you're quite right. The the makeup of the household consumption expenditure is quite interesting this quarter because all of them expanded, even though it's very small percentages. I mean, half a percentage point, maybe 1.5, 2, apart from miscellaneous, which we can get to just now. It's only housing and electricity that had a very small contraction. So it's not as if households are shooting the lights out in all the different categories. It was primarily driven by something that we call miscellaneous goods and services, by lack of a better phrasing. And that is where we put in all the expenses on insurances. So during this quarter, a lot of the insurance premiums, whether it's short-term or for your car, household, all of them reflected the strong growth in the second quarter. Then making, because that contributed 0.6 to the overall 1.4. So that's near just more than a third of the increase comes purely from the insurance. Also added in that category was quite a few households from South Africa overseas. So they spend their money outside of the country, which we then had to classify as imports coming in. And fewer foreigners actually came to South Africa in the second quarter. So the net offset between those domestic visitors and South Africans going overseas also contributed to this increase in the miscellaneous goods and services expenditure.
Good to understand. Joe, I would add, though, the other thing that I found very interesting, particularly given how much we bleat about the cost of things, is that I get it, the miscellaneous goods contributed 0.6 percentage points, but there's a half a percentage point or so of growth in household spend that comes from discretionary goods. You know,
yeah,
it was,
that's true.
Yeah, so is that credit? I'm not sure.
I think that's exactly the point.
Yeah.
Where does this expenditure come from? Is it, I doubt if it's from cash reserves that households have. So is it from salary increases? Is it coming from just buying on credit? Are people maybe anecdotally starting to spend because they think they're going to get their two-pot portion being paid out in a few months? Who knows? We'll have to see for when the statistics around those types of metrics come out to see what the real impact is and where this money came from.
Yeah, I'd be very curious. That'll be a follow-up interview. We look forward to speaking to you again, Joe. Thank you so much for giving us such a thorough rundown of our quarter two GDP.
My pleasure. Have a good evening.
Likewise. Joe De Beer is the Deputy Director General for Economic Statistics at Stats SA. Isn't that interesting? Increase in consumer spend.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on Kaya 959.